Hello and welcome to today's Marvelous Lunch Break. We'll be talking about episode 3 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier and the Baron Zemo and a few other people as well. Joining me today, as always, is Miss Marvelous Elf, Anna Harrison. How are you?
I'm great, Dad. Really great.
And as well, Agent Martin Carter. How are you?
Hello, I'm okay, thank you.
That's nice. That's very good. I'm glad you're all right. So, let's get straight into it. We have got episode 3 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. What was this episode called? Power Broker? Am I right in thinking that was the episode title? Fantastic. Well, if you've been watching episode 3 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it's getting to be a mouthful now. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us afterwards, hopefully. But if you listened to us before, there may be a lot of spoilers in this podcast. In fact, there is almost guaranteed to be a lot of spoilers in this podcast. So if you're listening from around the world, please do take that on board. But, you know, if you like us, even if you get the whole thing spoiled, remember to review it. Subscribe to us if you want to listen to us in future weeks, or if you just want to go back and listen to past weeks. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, Anna, what's the details for that?
They can find us at A Marvelous Lunch Break.
A Marvelous Lunch Break. There you go. Right, well, we will start off, as we now always do, not with a fast one-minute roundup, as Anna is known for, but instead for a new segment, which started last week. Have we got a name for this yet?
No, we don't. We need to come up with a good name. I mean, Martin, I feel like this might be your responsibility since you came up with the whole Challenge Annika thing from days past. So that's your homework. Give it some thought. I'm now doing episode recaps in a rhyming couplet form, which just feels more ridiculous every time I say it. I've got a nice lyrical roundup of the plot, if we're ready.
I am as ready as I will ever be.
Like a beatbox background.
Oh, dear Lord, no. No, dear God.
Thank you for declining that.
Yeah. thanks for the offer, Martin, but no.
Nothing, all right. Nothing screams poor quality content than out of sync beatboxing over friggin' Zoom call.
Okay, here we go. Episode 3, Power Broker.
I'm in. I'm ready.
Walker and crew hunt down flag smashers at their last known place, but all Johnny gets for his trouble is a gob of spit in the face. Meanwhile, Bucky goes knocking on Zemo's cell door, and while he has some advice, Buck knows that there's more. So what first is proposed as a hypothetical jailbreak query quickly becomes reality as the Baron appears before Sam, all snarky and leery. The trio seeks answers in a city of killers, rogues, and liars, so they blend right in, Soldier, Baron, and Smiling Tiger. In Madripoor, Bucky must be a dead-eyed drone once again, which Sam finds hard to stomach like a drink full of snake intestine. But when their best lead is shot, there's no chance for more barter. But as luck would have it, they get some help from a one Sharon Carter. The boys rough up a scientist to learn how the new serum came to pass, while Sharon's busy outside, kicking some ass. With a well-paced place rocket, the lab goes up in smoke, and with his purple mask in place, Baron Zemo's no joke. In another country, Carly tries to pluck her heartstrings, but once you choose to murder people, can we root for you to win? The trio tracks Carly based on the scientist's reveal, and en route, Bucky swears Cap's shield he will steal. And now in Latvia, Buck follows chirping beads down a street and comes face to face with one of Wakanda's elite.
Way, nice. Well done.
Nice.
I feel like you set yourself a more complex challenge this week and nailed it.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks, man.
There was a lot of massive words in there.
Yeah, and you know what? I only had to turn to the rhyming dictionary, I would say, twice. So I'm hoping by the next time I won't be clicking that link at all. And by sheer coincidence, it was exactly like 11 couplets again. That seems to be my sweet spot. I'm not aiming for any in particular at the moment. So feeling good.
There's something there for you, Martin. When you think of this name with the number 11.
I like that I don't feel out of breath listening to these in comparison to the one-minute roundups.
Me too. You know what? It's nice not to have to take like 5 minutes to recover after giving a plot recap. So, yeah, I think we're doing good here.
Nice. And well, thank you very much, Anna. I feel up to speed. I, you know, I feel like even if someone hasn't watched the episode and is now listening, they're fully up to speed.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot happened in this episode, though, I think. I think we got big action scenes, some big moving forward. Not too many new characters, but we will still kick off with the cast. Starting, as always, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan.
Are we going to do this every time?
We're going to do the two of them every time. Right. If you'd have listened to the first episode, Martin, then we're going to just do new characters each episode, right. Okay? So there's only like two this week. But we will add another one because it was his first full appearance. We have Daniel Brühl as Zemo. Yeah? Yeah? Zemo, go on.
Yeah, he's
Baron Zemo.
Yeah, he's been a really enjoyable addition so far. I've been enjoying him.
He's a bit camp, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that outfit alone, the big fur collar. Oh, I love it. This is one of those things that, like, I always get really excited when the, you know, MCU, like, studio is introducing a new character, because I'm always really curious to see their interpretation, because, I mean, so many of these superheroes were conceived and you know, rendered at a time where, like, the camp outfits is just what you got. I mean, and I love to see how they translate that into kind of a more of a modern setting, and I like that with Baron. They didn't let go too much of his sort of Flash attire. I like the choices they made for him, and everything that he was wearing, I could see a bit of, oh yeah, that definitely smacks back to that flamboyant purple masked guy from days gone by.
Well, speaking of camp, then we've got Emily Van Camp as Sharon Carter. Cheers, applauses, anyone? A gentle applause.
Yeah, gentle applause, definitely. Some good ass kickery. But I feel she's not wearing this new persona, I think, as well as the kind of previous iterations of Sharon Carter. Like, I think the sort of squeaky clean agent, nurse undercover, undercover nurse that she was in Winter Soldier, and then, you know, in Civil War, I think kind of suited her. I don't know, just like the way this actress portrayed her a bit more, this kind of like seedy underbelly rogue fighter type person. It didn't hit home kind of as well. But I'm glad to see her back. I'm really pleased that she was an addition to this episode. So we'll see how it progresses.
Martin, did Sharon Carter do anything for you?
she like, and even in the films as well, she always just seems really serious. And there isn't a whole lot of like light and shade with her. Like, it's just, she just plays this like straight, serious. I don't know. It just seems, she seems like, it feels very televisual, kind of. It always really reminds me of Alias. I don't know if you've ever seen Alias, the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
It's like really serious CIA agents. Like, it's, I don't know. I think Marvel characters are a bit more complex than she is. I don't know.
Emily, if you're listening. I mean, I think that we need to talk about Sharon Carter quite a bit in this episode, I feel. There is the beginnings of conspiracy happening in this episode, centered all around Sharon Carter. So we'll hold that for a moment, but we'll come back to it in the, it's filed under the Mad Reporter section of this this episode. Finally, we've got Florence Kasumba brief at the end as AO, dramatic reveal of Wakanda and the Falcon and Winter Soldier worlds coming together again.
Heck yeah.
I was not expecting that.
Me neither. Me neither. And I remember with like those little, when he first picked up like the first little bead, I was like, what the hell is it? I thought maybe it was something that Zemo had kind of left, like trying to get someone to come find him and break him out. Like, I had no idea. But then as soon as we saw Io, like, they're the Wakanda beads. And then you hear like the lick of, you know, that classic Wakanda music. And I was like, yes, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Oh, yeah.
100%. Just great excitement in that scene.
I thought Bucky was just going to do some sightseeing around Lithuania. He's like, I'm just going to go for a walk. There's a bridge that I've seen on Instagram that looks really nice. I'm just going to go check it out.
What do you have in Lithuania? Like, is Lithuania known for like patisseries or anything? It might have been just a little side street, you know, a little. Oh, there's a lovely coffee shop down here.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I do also have to point out that they're they're in Latvia, I think, not Lithuania.
Oh. Well, I don't know what Latvia is known for either. Not very global. Sorry. So that was pretty much our new entries into this episode. There was a couple of supporting characters here or there. Sorry that we're not going to mention you, but you know they were the main hitters of this episode. But I feel a lot. This felt like the episode for me where things really started kicking off. And similar to like WandaVision, I think you know the first few episodes were a little bit okay. Something's nice. This is a decent show, but then it was episode 3, episode 4, where things really started to you know ramp into gear and go. Here's your bad guys. Here's the situation. Here's what's happening. Martin, you were last week when we spoke. You were worried that there wasn't a sufficient enough threat or fear for our heroes. In the Falcon and the Winter Soldier and the Baron and the Sharon, how are you feeling after episode 3?
You know what, I'm still I hate to say the word and I don't want to look at Anna when I say this, but I'm still a little bit bored.
Oh, no.
I just
right, you're
like,
going on mute.
I think mainly because there wasn't like a huge action sequence in this one as there have been in the previous two. I mean,
they blew up a shipping yard.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, yeah, they blew it up. But really, I mean, the kind of Sharon Carter fight scene was the main bit of that, which was incredibly graphic. But I just think like I just don't understand the point of why things are happening. Like, it feels like they're going that a lot of their like. Reasons to travel to a new place are for information and that just feels like a really weak like reason to do like to do all these like grand things. Like it's like we're going to go to Madripoor to get information from this person. Oh, they've told us we need to go to the shipping yard for this information, and it just feels like it just doesn't I don't know the rationale of why they're doing things doesn't seem to justify how much, like how much they're doing. Like Sharon Carter, like killed like 15 people in this episode, and I'm not quite sure why. Like, why did she kill all those people? Because they were stopping them getting information. Like, I still don't quite understand why the 8 super serum soldiers are so. Big of a threat that it justifies everything that Falcon and Winter Soldier are doing. And I just, it's that balance that I just can't seem to get my head around. Like, I most of the time, I don't know what's going on in Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I'm not sure where we're trying to get to. And it's just making it a bit like, oh, now we're going to another destination where there'll be some drone shots over a nice place. And then there'll be a fight scene. And then there'll be a character from another film introduced in the last third. Like it's just it just I'm not connecting with it. I'm very sorry, and that was too long a rant.
Well, your concerns have been noted. moving on.
Do you resonate with anything that I'm saying, or am I?
I do actually. I think I think you're absolutely right about the lack of a threat at the moment. I feel like there was a lot of effort in this episode to kind of. Give Carly a bit of like empathy. You know, she's lost this person who's obviously very close. She was very close to like this Robin Hood-esque kind of persona she's putting on, but then now having blown up this building and murdered people who were, you know, incapacitated to kind of give her like, okay, she is willing to do whatever it takes. But I think you're right. There is a bit of a... Knowing what we know about what the Winter Soldier is capable of, what Sam is capable of, we've yet to feel that if they really put their mind to it, they couldn't just take these guys down relatively quickly. I think when it comes down to it, probably the writers of this series had a difficult challenge ahead of them, because I think the main meat of this story is just about Bucky and Sam coming to terms with what their role in this new world is. Post-blip, no Cap, what does this mean for them? And I do think a lot of what's happening around them is more or less a window dressing to get them from place to place so they can go on this journey. And so I can totally appreciate that that comes across as a little bit weak sauce at the moment. I can totally appreciate that. But I have to say, for me personally, I'm just enjoying the hell out of the ride, like, so much. I mean, I think this was my favorite episode yet. I love being in Madripoor. I love just, again, it felt like more world building. Like Dan said, we'll get more into Madripoor later. I think I'll be interested to see when it does finally culminate in an ultimate showdown, which it inevitably will be. Is that going to be against the Baron? Is it going to be against the Flag Smasher? Is it going to be against Cap? Like, what? It doesn't feel like the work is really going into any of those three things to make a final showdown feel like it's going to have the gravitas that it needs, unless the final showdown ends up being against Sam and Bucky, which I don't think, I would be really surprised.
Would either of you be holding any other TV show to the account if it needs to have one major and main threat? It feels like it feels like this TV show is much more set up, unlike WandaVision, is much more set up to have a season two, a season three. I think, you know, it doesn't all need to happen necessarily. You know, we're setting up characters, we're setting up storylines. Mm. The MCU is great at serving you, like, the introduction to threats and problems, major, minor, and bringing old ones back as well, and then seeing where they go and where they evolve. It may not be that we get to episode six and suddenly it's like Zemo versus Jack Walker versus Wakanda fight, and it's like, yeah, it just might not happen.
I think because this show in particular has been positioned as it's a film split into six parts, there's loads of action scenes in it. Like with WandaVision, I wasn't expecting a giant witch fight in the sky. Like, I would be happy if those eight episodes were just in suburbia and just were kind of smaller in scale. And I think, yes, I think there is an expectation. I think, you know, whatever TV series there is, you need to feel like you're progressing to something towards the end, and like the scale of that can vary. Like, obviously, there's a difference between what I expect from Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Ugly Betty, but I still know that Ugly Betty is trying to fit in a fashion world, and at the end of it, she's going to pitch, I don't know, to land her first cover story. Like, I still know what's going on in the future. I just don't know why we're doing all the things that we're doing with such...
Zima said it, start at the bottom and work your way up. That's what they're doing. You know.
They're just going at it 100%, and I don't know why they're going at it 100%. In the sense that, like, in the world, there are lots of like terrorist organizations, and there is the like soldier serum aspect to this one, but they're taking it so kind of, they're taking this threat so seriously, and I don't know what the threat is.
They have blown up a building. It's quite a serious threat, and in fairness, like, if you look at the seriousness that the two camps are taking it, I think you've got the GRC, the people, you know, they are taking it sort of seriously, but not really. They're raiding places in transit vans, just trying to find people, and they're getting it wrong. Like, it doesn't look like the huge global effort is on them, but you can tell that Bucky and Falcon, Sam, are taking it seriously because of their own personal motivations. Like, their serious is not, it's an Avengers level threat. The US government is like, go hunt these down. The US government looks like it doesn't really care too much at the minute, but these two individuals have got the personal motivation through, well, Bucky is a super soldier, doesn't want more super soldiers, and sees the problem that it's caused and is already trying to atone for his own part in all of this. So he's hella motivated to go do it. And Sam is motivated through, he's probably got like these latent feelings around, you know, giving up the shield and maybe feeling like he needs to prove himself somewhat, even though he doesn't. And you can see that's why like his first reaction to the whole new Cap thing was, I just need to go do this mission. So you can see that their whole motivations are not necessarily the world is going to end, but they're dealing with their own personal struggles, and this is their outlet, right? This is their release almost. And I think the story is more that they're going a bit off the rails, they're going a bit crazy, they're working with million terrorist whatever, in the lowest dungeon of the prison. They're working with shady characters in Madripoor. They're, dressing up as convicts, all this sort of stuff. You've got Bucky doing his Winter Soldier thing a little bit. It's less clear who the good guys and the bad guys are. And they're sort of, just going very, they're going very Batman, they're going very, what's the term, vigilante, right? Mm. And it's like, I think one of the threats in this is, are you doing the right thing? Are you, what's going on? Should you be leaving it to the others to mess this up?
Oh, I think already their tactics are incredibly questionable. I mean, they broke Zemo out of jail, for God's sakes. I mean, as Sam's Fury and that weird chop shop that they were at, they had to know the Wakandans were going to come for them, and they were potentially about to cause an international incident somewhat unnecessarily. I think it's safe to say that their emotions and sort of Bucky's personal vendetta about there being more super soldier serum is definitely overriding their better judgment. And I think Sam's kind of along for the ride because he feels that maybe he can be some form of check, although he hasn't really exercised that so far. I mean, I do agree that so far the series does feel pretty much all set up. And now that we've reached the halfway point, I wouldn't be surprised if then the next three episodes are all about now streamlining a bit more. I think we've been introduced to all our main characters now. I'd be really surprised if there was one big piece, one big character left. I think we're now going to be going towards the end. And I wonder if once this series is done, kind of unlike WandaVision that, was very much self-contained chunks, if watching all the series back to back as this 6-8 however hour long movie that it's supposedly meant to be, we would... the sum of its parts would make more sense rather than kind of seeing it chopped up like this. But it's obvious it's really hard to tell at this stage. So so I hear what you're saying, Martin, but I'm just having so much fun. I can't care.
And look, in episode 4, when Wolverine shows up, when Sharon Carter is revealed to be the power broker,
are we going to get another reveal of the power broker? Do you think that's coming?
I don't know. I don't know if that's something they're going to save maybe for, it's just going to be one of those threats that's kind of out there. Because I could see that maybe being a Shang-Chi,
they said beforehand that this series is going to set up, that is going to directly lead into three different properties, right? They didn't say just movies, but three different properties.
Yeah.
So... I think we can tick off Black Panther as one of them, possibly. Black Panther 2. But where the others are going to go, I've got no clue at the moment.
Well, I mean, the very little I know of, the only thing I really know about Shang-Chi has to do more with X-Men, because Madripoor is a place where big fighting tournaments happen. And I know Wolverine has participated in these tournaments in the past, and I'm pretty sure Shang-Chi has as well. I think Shang-Chi is even... fought the Wolverine in one of these Madripoor tournaments, so that could be.
Is this why we haven't had a Shang-Chi trailer yet? Because it's going to come after Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Is that going to be the credit scenes of the sixth episode?
Possibly, and incredible. I think we so that Madripoor as well. It's always been a home to a lot of mutants. The Charles Xavier's school, his school was there for a long time. And Wolverine is a lot of Wolverine is very connected with Madripoor. There was even an Easter egg in this episode for the Princess Bar, which is featured in a lot of Marvel comics, not just Wolverine, but it's a known location. Sam points it out in this episode. Well, once again, I think they're really teasing the audience now about this mutant reveal. You know, we had the Quicksilver stuff in WandaVision. We're getting hints towards Madripoor, Wolverine. They're setting this world up where mutants are going to exist. And, you know, I guess when's the moment where one of them appears? There was rumors months ago that Wolverine may turn up in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, my God.
When they were filming. So, you know, schnickety-schnoy, it's happening. Right? I'm on the train. It's happening.
Is this your new, Wolverine. Like, Fantastic Four, like, conspiracy theories? Roads point to Fantastic Four, but now all roads point to X-Men and the Wolverine.
Well, all roads still point to Fantastic Four. Okay, WandaVision heavily pointed to Fantastic Four, right? You know, I think all roads still lead there. And now, you know, Marvel have confirmed that all roads lead there. So, you know, just saying, a little vindicated over here. But definitely at the minute, the Marvel theme of the season is all roads lead to mutants, right? We're having hits left, right, and center. And bringing Madripoor into it is, you know, it's like bringing Wakanda into it and then saying, oh, you're going to get a Black Panther movie. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's happening. Buckle up. Just saying. Power Broker, though. Power Broker, we know is here. We know is in charge-ish, the highest, the biggest power in Madripoor. Mm. Place your bets. Who do you think it is?
So I'm guessing you think it's Sharon.
Well, yeah, I think it's Sharon. I mean, and this is a fairly widely accepted conspiracy, but I think either it's Sharon or Sharon is like the right hand
enforcer.
Like muscle of the Power Broker, because she knew how to fight everyone. You know, she's been there a while. She knew what was going on before Sam and you know, Bucky and Zemo even showed up with her sniping through the window. And I think she did that possibly to protect either her identity or someone else's, because they were probably going to talk about who the Power Broker is. And she was like, not having any of that. Mm. And then when the serum stuff being blown up, you noticed how she stayed outside. She didn't go in. She didn't want to see that guy. And only until it was like the place is being blown up. She goes in, he gets popped, and you know, so her identity, really, if it's known in Madripoor, was not at risk of being revealed through the serum stuff. And then she's like, gets in the car, we got a problem. I think the problem is the serum's just all been exploded, right? And she's either like, I'm the Power Broker and we have a problem, or we need to go tell Wolverine that we've got a problem. You know, saying.
Can we just touch on? So I have no idea who the Power Broker is, so I'm not even going to try and guess.
What do you think, Sharon Carter? What do you think her role is in this? Though, do you think she's just?
I don't think her role is any bigger than it was in that episode. I think she came in to help out, and I don't think we're going to see her again.
Well, at the end, she was on the phone. She was like, "We've got a problem."
I don't know. I'm not convinced she's as big of a part as you think she is. I think it was nice to see her. She helped out.
I'll see you after episode four. Come on.
But what I thought was interesting in this episode is how violent it was. Like, I felt like this episode in particular was a lot more violent than anything else we've seen from Disney Plus so far. Like,
oh yeah, someone got a pipe through the shoulder,
stabbing people. Like, seeing blood, I think, is really rare for the MCU as well. It was just, unless the blood is blue, and then we can spill it as much as we want. I just thought it was like I found it quite shocking, the level of violence it was. And I'm a 32-year-old man. I'm just not sure how Disney it was. I don't know. I thought it was very violent.
Oh yeah, I think they absolutely stepped up the level of violence and the kind of not just like the kind of black and white violence of like, oh, knife through the arm, pipe through the shoulder, but I do feel like the kind of the way they framed the violent threat as well felt really different in this episode. Like, man, did they go hard on like the Winter Soldier screamy theme when Bucky was like, you know, pretending to be the Winter Soldier, which, you know, I love that theme, but I was even like, Jesus Christ, like dial it down just a little bit. And the way they showed Zemo as well, like that kind of really cold blooded walking through the smoke, shooting people in the head type thing. It definitely had, I think, a really different feel. And to be perfectly honest, I mean, it's because it's under the banner of Disney, it does feel a bit more shocking. But I had kind of expected it to be more like this from the beginning. Because I think like the actual physicality of the violence is one thing, but it was one of the things I really remembered from the Winter Soldier. Just all of the ways in which Bucky fought, like those really close quarters, it felt so dangerous, the kind of knife work and everything they did under that underpass, that amazing scene in Winter Soldier. And I was expecting that to be more of the feel of this show. Yeah, so I definitely think it's been turned up a notch, but I think because I have been kind of anticipating this and waiting for it, it didn't feel as shocking. And I feel like it's, if Disney was ever going to do that in a series, in a show in the MCU, I felt like this was the one, the one to do it. But yeah, it did definitely feel stepped up and more visceral, a lot more visceral this episode. Yeah.
Well, I think this is pretty much bringing us to an end. I've got one final question. In fact, I've got two final questions. The first one is Cap, new Cap. He is like in like the direct. He is like exemplifying the Sokovia Accords. Right. He is like, you call me up, I'll do whatever you want. And I'll be I'll be an asshole while I'm doing it.
It's a bad sign when you're really quickly jumping to the, do you know who I am? Intimidation tactic. So, yeah, I think he's not long for being in the white hat side of things.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be trying to get him some hands on these serums, isn't he? He's definitely going to be trying to juice up there and get himself some super muscles, you know, any day now.
Interesting. I didn't think about that possibility.
Oh, yeah. I think that's almost set in stone.
Yeah. Because he wants to be the best of the best. Like he wants to like, yeah. I mean, everything about him is just screaming how much he wants like the respect and adoration that previous Cap had. And yeah, if you can't get it through love, you got to do it through those sweet super muscles.
There is no other option. There is love or muscles, which is the name of the new Thor movie. So the final question that I had is, have we clocked any plane scenes in this week's episode? Did anyone jump out of a plane? Did a plane go overhead at all?
Oh, did we? Yes. Oh my God, yeah, the swankiest plane with the ridiculous crypt keeper butler serving up questionable food and warm champagne.
Do you think that butler's just been waiting there for like the past 5 years?
It sure seems like it, just living on that plane, waiting for Baron Zemo to rock up. I gotta say, while it makes very little sense in some ways, I love the reveal that Zemo is super rich and can bankroll this entire venture, because apparently no one thought to seize his assets when he got thrown into Supermax prison.
Well, his royalty, right? People, he can't really, can you seize royal things? Like,
I have a feeling in the next few years, we're going to find out.
Okay. We'll come back and find this out. Stay tuned, everyone.
can I just say one thing though, just since you brought up the plane, because I think I do think there was an important message in one of the plane scenes that I think is kind of this overall theme of the show. And I was surprised to see it kind of laid out so blatantly in a little speech by Zemo, this idea of the danger of putting people on a pedestal. And once you do that, it's easier to ignore people's flaws. And that's how you end up with a quote unquote hero who doesn't have any checks and balances or Similarly, supervillains rising to meet them, which causes cities and to fly into the air and untold people being murdered. So I think I'm really curious to see what becomes of Zemo, like through the next couple seasons, because he has not shaken one iota in sort of what his mission statement is, and I'm curious to see how that might rub off on Bucky and particularly Sam, like being in close proximity to this kind of ideology. So yeah, I was surprised to see him just like absolutely lay it out there and it not be a bit more of a subtle thing, but I thought it was a good speech, and I will be watching this space for what comes of it.
Ooh.
What if he gets the serum? Oh, so many people could get
Baron
the serum.
Baron Zemo is not getting the serum. Don't start this. He wants to get rid of super soldiers.
Captain America could get the serum. They could have a fight.
Baron Zemo is not... if Baron Zemo gets the serum, okay, I'll concede all of your points.
Well, the show is daft. I mean, let's not forget what the man is willing to do. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, in his mind, he saw it as, if I get this serum, I can so much more easily wipe out all the superheroes. And once I've done that, I will end myself, so there is no more super
soldiers. I think that's how he treats... But that's his vision for the Winter Soldier, isn't it?
True.
You know, he's his attack dog.
And yeah, straight... Like he's the brains, isn't he? Not the brawn.
Yeah.
You know. He's got a nice leather jacket. He's not getting himself messed up. He's just standing on a container ship and going... Bang!
Yeah,
and like, yep. You know,
that furry leather jacket and some sick dance moves, and he's so funny.
No, it was great. I love Zemo when he's just like opening up the container. And he's like, well, now we're talking. He's like freaking riding out a like convertible or whatever. Great.
He's having a great time. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's pretty much it for this week. Episode 3 is done. Do we have a title for episode 4 yet? Is there a title out in the world?
No, they're really close-lipped about what the episode titles are. You don't really find out until the day.
Well,
the Wolverine.
Oh my god.
mutants have arrived. mutants. Sharon Carter is the power broker. Yeah. Oh, okay. Right, we'll see you here then. Please subscribe so you can join us again for episode 4. If you've got any thoughts, any takes, any conspiracies, any views on the podcast, if you believe like Martin that it's a hokey piece of crap, or like the rest of the world, you think that this is maybe something to it, then please send us a message. Instagram is probably the best way to get us. Anna, what are the details for those?
Yes, you can message us on our Instagram account, A Marvelous Lunch Break, or you can find me on Instagram, Anna Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's.
Nice. And Martin, if listeners want to find you, where can they find you?
Well, this is interesting because a few people that I know, because it's released weekly, they wait until halfway through the season, so they've got a few episodes to kind of watch back to back before they... watch the rest. So if you are at that point and you've only just started watching and then listening to us afterwards, we'd love to hear your halfway point remarks. Oof. So
heck yeah.
Send them to me or Anna. I'm at Martin Loves.
And if you want to subscribe, you can find us wherever you're listening currently. You can probably subscribe to us there. But if you prefer other platforms, Apple, Spotify, anything like that, you head over there. Please drop us a review. Please drop us a little subscribe. We'd love to have you stick around. And of course, thank you so much for coming by. It's been another great week. I'm excited for episode 4. I hope you are as well. Have a great time in between now and then. I'm off to watch the Black Widow trailer. So,
me too.
I will WhatsApp you all after that. have a great week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.